Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 162, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020, 49 days until January 20th. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka F-Zero Brian, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Mr. Miles Gray, and guess what, folks? He does not have an AKA today, so he's just going to be your boy Kusama. I'm looking at the Discord. Some of these are so good, I'm not lying to y'all and Zeit Gang. I have to, like, rehearse them to do them the justice of the time y'all clearly put into the lyrics. So I will be back with a fire AKA, best believe it. But thank you for having me.
Yeah. Hey, Miles, thrilled to have you.
Thanks so much, we are thrilled
to be joined in our third seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore. He is the hilarious, the talented Billy Wayne Davis!
Hey. Air horns.
What's good, man?
Say three times, you guys.
Yeah.
Better just go... Bow, bow, bow.
You and I are both... I think everything's a good, right? Better.
Everything's... better, yeah,
it's better
somewhat.
It feels like it feels like you, when your team gets momentum in the game.
The analysts will tell us that there is no such thing as momentum, and that is just a narrative device we've created as sports fans,
like love languages. I've played sports
and it exists
absolutely to be in the zone.
People say in-game momentum isn't real.
Yeah, that's what, like, sabermetrics people say. Like, when they look at teams when they're going on a run, they're like, actually, that's just, like...
They're just saying that's like a concentration of results occurring, like, at once. Okay.
It's like flipping a coin and it turning up heads 10 times in a row. You're like, wow, heads really has momentum, but it's actually just a... But I just... Having a very limited experience with sports, and Bill, you definitely have more than me, but like there are times when the hoop seems like enormous and you like can't miss. And then there are times when You can't hit the broadside of a barn. Yeah. As
it's why it's why con men can have a career. It's because right, you can confidence. Sway fucking people's emotions, and that and it, and like if you don't think like a large group of people all cheering for one thing to happen can't steer that consciously in a mode. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And nerds are going to be like, well, actually, it's just numbers, and I've never right. played sports before or ever experienced that, so I'm gonna explain just, it yeah. by numbers. And you're like, you go fuck yourself.
It seems just like an aggressive way to like explain something away that you could just be like, sure, like to be unequivocal, like you could be like, yeah, momentum or whatever, but to be like, it's not momentum is a little like, yo, relax, okay?
Right.
Because I've yes, like to Billy's point, whether it's people cheering for you or shit cheering against you, mm-hmm. those are fucking motivations for people to just go out of body. And I don't think some of these great athletes, like Michael Jordan's not going to be like, no, man, it was just a concentration of, you know, right. fair results for me.
Every shot had a 55% chance of going in because that's what I shoot.
Statistically, and that's just how great concentration of results in that moment. No, this motherfucker is out here being like, right. oh, I took that shit personally.
Yeah, and then
Michael Jordan's like, yeah, the valet was wearing a Cavs hat, and he didn't make eye contact with me long enough, and that's all I needed.
That's right. all I needed. That was all I needed. I don't like when he says that.
Right.
It's the whole reason we play games.
Yeah.
It's that little thing that even if you want to break it down even further to that God particle that they always talk about mm-hmm. in science.
That we spent all that little, money on that particle accelerator.
It's that little thing that we're still like, that part, I don't fucking know about that part.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's what we're talking about when we talk about those little moments and yeah. why some people react to certain moments and some don't. And like,
whether it's them being like, well, you know, they got good results statistically, there's momentum the other way too, as like on, if you're defending, you know, if you're in a sport where you're in a defensive posture or whatever, you completely fuck up. And yeah, it seems like they're doing better because your defense is shit too. Yeah. So yeah. it's like, what the, I don't know, whatever. I'm getting too hopped up on my own emotions because Arsenal is doing terribly, but at least the Lakers are looking strong as fuck enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they did
well,
lose.
Well, like, I didn't like Kobe Bryant until recently, and I really looked at his career because the media gave us no choice. but I also realized, like, oh, he wanted me to not like him, and that makes me like him now.
Yeah.
I was like, that was his thing. And then you just notice he's just like, killing teams left and right, and you're like, that's pretty fucking yeah. cool. He was just not on yeah. my team, so fuck that guy. But now I get it.
He was so committed to killing teams that even at the end of his career, he was killing the Lakers while yeah. a member of their team.
Wow. I mean, they shouldn't have asked that. That's that's a tough one of what should we have done with Kobe Bryant? But that's
sorry,
a whole
Lakers
other podcast.
Fans. Sorry, Sophie. All right, let's tell the listeners a couple of
things. I'm a Blazers fan. I don't
about.
Know what you're talking about. We're just up there having fun.
Yeah, yeah. Love of the game. But that was one of the last times that it seemed like somebody was just in the zone to a degree that almost seemed superhuman was Dame Lillard when he was knocking down shots from like half court.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. All right, we're going to talk about Trump pardoning himself, others. We're going to talk about the swamp because Biden is putting together his cabinet and... Yeah, there's going to be...
Here comes the swamp.
Da, 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 da. I was listening to that album this weekend. That was a great album, Abbey Road. I don't know if you've heard of these people, the Beatles, but I keep referencing them. People need to check them out.
My math teacher liked them, though.
We're going to talk about Joe DiGenova, who is suggesting that the former election security head who went on 60 Minutes over the weekend be killed. So that's... sign so of
that'll
a thriving democracy.
Something.
Yeah.
So, there's not a lot of wiggle room when you just come out.
Nah.
Now, what did you what did you mean by kill? And you're like,
yeah, yeah. we'll talk about Christy Noem's performance when it comes to COVID. We'll talk about Gordon Ramsay. We'll talk about Jake Paul.
I hope we don't get to those last two. I hope we don't.
we'll get there. All of that, plenty more. But first, Billy, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
mattresses. I've been looking up, trying to find the best deal for a mattress. Also, I don't think Black Friday is a good time or Cyber Monday is a good time to buy anything because I don't know what anything ever cost.
Right. There's no baseline for prices. So,
and then they're just saying, like, this is 100% off. And you're like, maybe. I don't know. Where did it start from? It's still $45.
Right.
Yeah. That and, like, I don't know when, if one's better than the other, like, it's all blending together. It's really strange because even throughout the pandemic, like, the lockdown, so many of these, like, outlets or shopping places have had all kinds of ridiculous sales to offset the lack of, like, foot traffic into their physical stores. So it's like I felt like there were always deals on shit because of the lockdown that, yeah, it, like, the Cyber Monday thing was almost moot to me. I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like nothing looks cheaper than it ever has. I feel like everything's looked cheap somewhat. $40 80-inch TV.
Yeah. They have hyperinflation Sundays where they triple the price and then it always looks like a deal on Monday.
Right.
Yeah. And then all the cheap TVs, if you look, they have a listening device in them and you're like, well, that's why they're cheap.
Yeah. you're the product.
That makes me angry. That's just the new club card is what that is.
Right.
But I think the mattress thing is frustrating because it's like, some of them are really expensive, and some of them aren't. And I don't know why they're different, and you can't tell. And then I mentioned it online, and, you know, people are like, hey, this one or this one. And then people are like, hey, don't get the ones that come rolled up, because then something happens.
Nothing's clear anymore.
Pops out of the box and scares you.
Well, yeah, it's just exactly. Like, yeah, you be on a Tuesday, they get a little lower than then on a Wednesday, and you're like, man, I don't.
And don't get them wet. Do not get them wet.
Yeah, especially these not after will midnight. Get
them, yeah, they will, yeah, don't feed it either.
It's just a thing where I should ask specific questions instead of vague questions, because people do answer, they take it personal too. Like, well, don't get one from Serta because your girlfriend will break up with you. And you're like, that's not why she broke up with you. Know, that's yeah. Like, I think you're putting two events that happened on one day that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. Look, at Poonhound69X420. I don't think that was the issue.
What is something you think is underrated, Billy?
Taking an L. I think that's taking underrated.
Okay.
I love every time, Billy, it's always some version of this. I love it because it's such a point that always has to be driven home of, you can be wrong, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay to be wrong. And also, yeah, in this one, you got to take L's too, baby. Just simple wisdom.
Just take it. Just it.
Who inspired this take? You seeing something? You feeling something?
No, I think it's, well, I mean, there's an overall theme for sure where some people aren't taking some L's like they used to. But I just think overall it's a weird quirk that some people have where it's like, yo, you're going to learn more if you accept that you've lost this, and you'll probably win more if you accept this later.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a weird tick that I see where just like, you're going to have to be like, I remember playing, I think the metaphor of sports too was like, my dad always drove home, like, you don't stop playing until it's done, even if you know you've lost, because you don't know what you're gonna, you know, you don't go out and do dumb shit, but you still compete because you're still gonna learn stuff.
Yeah, and you might get a concentration of favorable results, statistically speaking, in the fourth quarter. You never know.
Or momentum, or somebody's watching, you know, or somebody's watching you from another level, and they're like, that kid didn't quit. It's just those little things where you're just like, I think, you know, in my 20s, I fought a lot of conventional wisdom and stuff that had been, thank God, just hammered into me over my youth, that in my 30s, that acceptance came back out,
right?
Which I'm glad was in there to begin with.
Yeah, because
it wasn't such a journey to get there.
It's funny too, like with people who, you know, have personalities where they just cannot admit like a deficiency within themselves. Like their ego just does not allow that to be a reality, in which they will either humble themselves before someone else who has given them a counterpoint that is correct or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you also see people also engage in activities where there is mistake-based knowledge being like derived. You know, like people who play video games, you can't beat a certain level. You don't just be like, well, fuck this. Like, it's done.
Right.
You're going to lose. And then you're like, okay, fuck. So I need to go duck over here next time because of that. And then I'll pop up, clap them over there, throw a grenade. You start putting shit together. But if you're denying yourself that information, you are going to just continue it. That's why it's like, just see the lot. Like, fundamentally, the loss has all of the wisdom that you need contained within
every,
it.
Every bit that you're looking for, you yeah, just walked truly. Away from. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm not good at this. You're like, no, you're not, but you could be. You could be right, really right. good at
it. You're also right. not good at being patient with yourself, too. It's very clear. Like, there's, and I think that's the other thing, too. Like, I've learned a lot from accepting when I'm wrong, when I've been, like, I'm acting in, like there's a deficiency and maybe some of my, like, patterns of behavior and things like that. Having that time to even just look at it and go, fuck, I can change that also helps me, like, accept myself much easier as a human being. Like, when you're in a state where yeah. you're like, fuck that, I don't make mistakes, whatever, you will also have a very hard time accepting yourself because you're too caught up in this idea of perfection, whatever. Just fucking take the L's, baby, and just love yourself.
Take them. I bet Nate Robinson's taking, he seems like he's taking an L pretty
yeah.
good right now.
Yeah.
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 And he'll probably be like, you know what? What I learned there? I'm 35. I don't need to be fighting 23-year-olds who are just maniacally lifting weights all day and like only like on their vision board have pictures of them tearing my head off. And I probably don't need to prove myself like that anymore.
Yeah. Also, Jake Paul was a D1 wrestler, was something I just learned. So,
yes.
Hell yeah.
And also, yeah. because you play basketball doesn't mean you can take a fucking punch. Those are
right.
two different things.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's one of.
But he's got that Bentley logo on his throat.
It does not matter.
All right. Well,
that is
cancel.
That's like having.
Then.
That's like having soft hands or a good arm.
right.
That is something you're born with. Where if you have a jaw like that, that's. You can take yeah. a punch or you can't. And he didn't have a. He had a glass jaw. And I feel like someone in his corner probably noticed that. And still let him do that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a check.
Yeah.
That was my first thought, was like, someone knew that he, uh-oh.
People are talking about, like, Jake Paul doing another fight. I think this should be Nate Robinson's new lane, is just getting knocked out by different
like
celebrities.
Homer? Like
just, who next? Sean Spicer knocks
yeah,
him out?
Yeah, just getting just
no,
destroyed
I,
by
I want him to knock Sean.
The most hateful humans.
UFC fighter that wants to fight Jake Paul.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Mm. I do think, yeah, it's like this weird version of meet me at the ballpark after school.
Yeah. yeah.
Where they've monetized yeah. this weird celebrities being like, I'll fight you. And you're like, what is yeah. happening?
Yeah.
It is slowly becoming like the claymation show Celebrity Deathmatch from like the early aughts on MTV.
Oh
that was
God,
like,
you're so
it's like,
right.
yeah, right. Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson. Like, that sounds like a sketch. Like,
right.
what the fuck is this?
And it's just people, it's our entire culture becoming middle school again, where it's just fight, like you said, Billy Wayne.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Snoop Dogg's
I think,
there, and I would go to an after-school fight if Snoop Dogg's rapping. I would be like, I'm going to go see Kevin and Steve knock each other out. It's going to be great.
Our inability to figure out, like, what skills translate between things is one of my favorite, like, topics to think about. Because nobody, like, really studies that. But, like, the fact that if we had known that Jake Paul was a D1 combat sport, like, athlete, and he was fighting somebody who was a basketball player and a football player. Like, yeah, those one of those skills translates to fighting and the other does not. Or, you know, I always talk about the directors, the actors who make better directors are always like the just like handsome guys who figured out how to be movie stars as opposed to like the real actorly actors like John Turturro or whatever. It's always like the dudes who just like know how to appear in a shot. Is the thing that translates. I don't know.
Man,
but,
taking shots at Turturro's directing, huh?
well, or Robert De Niro. Or you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
I think De Niro's movie that he directed was like, people were like, this is really boring because it, like he's counting on the people to be able to like do more with their performances than maybe.
Yeah, he's like, all right, now be me.
Yeah, now do an incredible performance. That's
I don't know. That's what Marty Scorsese used to say to me. So I don't know why this isn't working.
That's like they talked about Ted Williams tried to used to teach people how to hit, and he would just say the craziest shit you've ever heard because he was the best hitter that ever lived. Like, people would be like, I don't know what he's talking about.
They're like, you got to put a little pine tar at the top of your butt crack.
Well, just know he would say stuff like,
you
see
the batter's box.
Well, you can see the stitches when the ball's coming at you. Right. Just crazy because his hand-eye coordination was unbelievable. So people would just be like, what the fuck is he talking about?
That doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. So, and I had a hitting coach. He wrote a book, and one of our hitting coaches was like, keep in mind, that dude could do a lot of stuff that most humans couldn't. So keep that in mind when you read that book.
And actually, I don't even know why I recommended
this. Because chapter 4 makes no sense at all.
Chapter 4 is called Ted Time. It says when the ball's released from the pitcher's hand, enter Ted Time so you can then gain control of space and time. I don't know how to do this, coach. Keep swinging him, Billy. Keep swinging him. Keep swinging him, man.
Chapter 5 talks about being the best fighter pilot. What is this?
Being a fighter pilot at the top of your class in a war is a good practice for your hand-eye coordination. So try
and that guy's
out.
A good pilot. Yeah, that's Ted Williams. What?
Yeah. Also, try and get some Germans. BP in on the moon. You know, the different levels of gravity will really help your game when people are throwing off-speed pitches at you.
It's funny. The book my kids are obsessed with right now is I Am Neil Armstrong, and it's the story of like Neil Armstrong, but it literally hammers home the points that we're talking about, like being willing to take an L, like failing over and over again, and then like weird ways that like people underrate the fact that like he was like a great engineer and like had to engineer all this shit like on the fly. Anyways. So check out
that book. He's kind of bitter about that shit too. He's like, yeah, I went to the moon, but you know, like I had to MacGyver a bunch of shit before there was a MacGyver. So and you're like, everyone's like, hey, Neil, this kid's book.
No, man, call it Neil Armstrong, the fucking NASA maintenance guy who had to figure it out before all of his fucking buddies died up there in the cold vacuum of space. I don't know, man.
Fuck. There is a page that is like is about the memorial to all the people who died in the space race, and my son's always like, what is that page? Why is that? Why are it, like I skip that part a little bit because he's obsessed with death. Like any idea of death that like there's a Mr. Rogers book where like the fish is floating upside down and he just like clings to that and like rereads that page over and over again. He just asked me the other day why dinosaurs aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
He's really,
and why can't they come back?
Like, well, the Republicans.
Right. Exactly.
He's like, let's talk about Ronald Reagan real quick.
Billy Wayne, what is something you think is overrated?
Man, it seems trite, but reality television seems overrated. I know.
Okay. Miles, I see
Go
the
on.
Floor.
No, I know. I know who
no,
I said
I don't care.
It to.
It's people's opinion. I don't. If I gave a fuck about what other people thought, I wouldn't be me. But no, go. I think it is in many aspects. But
I think for me, it's overrated because it's not peaceful to me.
That's something I've noticed. I've found myself turning off certain shows because the conflict is so intense that I'm not. Sometimes there's like, ooh, this is a dumpster fire I can revel in. Other times I'm like,
no, I understand that some of it you're like, this is slow motion and amazing.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm loving it. Other ones are just like people screaming and shouting at each other for no reason. And I'm like, look, I have repressed memories from childhood I can revisit if I want to like hear like wild ass screaming competitions, but like. Yeah, there are moments where I've found, like, this is kind of fucking my energy up. Like, it's raising my blood pressure.
Yeah, it's just, like, I'll turn certain things off. And like, I'm just like, I can't. It's not good right now. It's not
What'd you watch? Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
No, that one, actually. Whew, that's good.
that one's great.
Love it. Those are my vegetables.
That one's something. Yeah, my wife turned that one on a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I just can't do. And then the first lady talks, and I was like, huh, okay.
Huh.
I'm going to.
All right.
As someone that enjoys sociology, psychology, and whatever's wrong with these people.
That was my first way of rationalizing. I was watching reality TV to like my other friends in college when I was like, it's actually like a really good case study on like human behavior. Yeah. And I'm just like, look, bro, I don't care if it's heavily produced. Like half my friends are shooting this shit and I know like how bunk it is, but I just love the fucking messes, man. I don't know.
The Bachelorette is that one's, I can get into that sometimes because of the weird psychological shit they're doing to them.
Right.
Right.
Well, because that's more of like a game show than like a sort of interactions of like real couples. It's like,
it's sadistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you need to embrace the fact that you're a reality show. You can't like try and just like pretend there's not a camera there and that like this is just how these people behave. Like that's what the Bachelorette and Bachelor is, like specifically like a setup where things are being set up for them and like that's embraced, whereas anything, I don't know,
well, they're being manipulated too,
right,
by like by
openly
sleep deprivation and alcohol, right. And
the alcohol, I think, is the most underrated thing. I have a friend of mine, if y'all remember the Fifth Wheel and Eliminate from back in the day. He used to shoot those. Yeah, Eliminate, which, my God, I was watching on YouTube old clips of that. The banter on those dates is so fucked up and toxic from like 2000, even like four, two, like where there was like a, you know, Eliminate is like a man or a woman. There's like people trying to court them and they have to slowly eliminate them and they end up with one single person. But when it's a woman is the focal point and it's dudes, they just end up like piling on each other and being so toxic. And this woman was like, I just read this article that like men like can start drinking like women's drinks or like girly drinks. Like, what do you guys think? Like, would you ever drink like a girly drink at a bar? And the conversation was like, this is so 20 years ago. Like, it's right. So fucking amazing. Anyway, all that to say is alcohol is like from before the camera even starts rolling. The producers are like, what do you need, man? What you want? Your red cup is empty. What do you need? What do you want? How quickly? How cold? How much? So they got to grease the wheels for
and
our,
then they keep them and then they drink and then they take it away. So they come down, but they're still filming. And then and instead of going to bed like you're supposed to do when you pour poison in your mouth all night, you're not supposed to keep going the next day. And then you have to make, you're also having to make these competitive decisions. And I think that one's not overrated to me. I think the ones where they yell and like you said, the conflict ones where they've just amped it up to where you're like, these are two animals in a cage that shouldn't be in a cage
right,
together.
Right.
I don't like this. The back of my neck is activated like that. Like my alien brain is like, you got to get out of here. This is bad.
We don't like this planet.
Yeah. All reality TV is secretly a competition show called America's Most Charismatic and Energetic Alcoholic.
Well, that is my favorite part of The Bachelor. Right. Is when they put all those dudes that have the angles for faces.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Those like cinder block jawlines.
Well, and they're all from like Lincoln, Nebraska and Pierre, South Dakota. And it's like the only angled dude there. And then they're all in the same room for the first time with a bunch of dudes that look like them. And they're like, well, my move is usually just stand here. and then they're all looking around like, that's my move too. So we're going to have to and you're like, yeah, do stuff. Do stuff. Give them booze. Then they're going,
Mom,
like,
I can't just stand here. There's three other Jakes here. It's not even that I'm the only Jake. Fuck.
I can.
Literally, their name is Jake.
My middle name's Kyle. Is that different enough?
Well, that'll actually confuse people between Kyle T and Kyle F that are our other contestants. So you can either be Jake Z or Kyle 3.
I'm Jake, Kyle.
The power of both.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Unprecedented. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Trump, I guess.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. Yeah, let's actually kick it off with what's happening in the Biden administration. Since okay. We've kind of, you
let's
know,
kick it off, huh? Just hop in the fan boat real quick and let's go down to the swamp, down the Bustios.
Yeah, baby.
I was like, can we get some food first if we're going to Louisiana?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Let's go to Parkway and get a couple po' boys real quick.
Yeah,
and then we'll go down to Bustios.
And I think, if we're going into that swamp, we need to get a guide, like
someone
Manafort or somebody that knows what they're doing. Yeah,
right. Now we'll just fuck around and find out.
So Biden, I mean, the conversation when the Democratic Party was trying to get people on board with the Biden ticket was that, you know, he is going to be the most progressive president and, you know, he has the most progressive platform and his cabinet. He's going to bring in Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. And it's just going to be a coalition of all the people the Democrats give a shit about. And now it seems
who said all that?
That seemed like it was where they were headed early on when they were trying to get progressive.
Yeah, when the nomination excited was about wrapped Biden. Up.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's like, we're going to listen to them. I mean, absolutely.
No, when they were lying to get what they wanted?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. That part. Okay, I was...
When they're like, yeah, you know the people who had better ideas than me? Like, without a shadow of a doubt, don't worry. I'm going to talk to them about the ideas stuff for sure.
We're going to need your power, but you keep your ideas. That's what
we need. No, just need the bodies, not the ideas.
Yeah. But now that he is starting to unveil cabinet nominees and other appointments to his administration, and this is stuff I should say up front, I find aggressively boring, but I found it boring when Trump was doing it too, because I'm not like a politics or government, like a person
who
has not a wonk, but yeah, it seems like they have gone in the very predictable direction of just basically trying to be as centrist as possible,
and more than that, just fully bear hugging the corporate class too, in most positions. And you know, I think a lot of the talk has been about like the comms office and how it's all women in there for the first time, or Janet Yellen, possibly becoming Secretary of Treasury, and this, that, and the other. But there's like other appointments too, right? Like who are his economic advisors? Who's heading up the National Economic Council? And you look at that and you say, oh, this name's floating around, John Deese. And I go, oh, wait, John Deese.
So
he's going to be that's a pretty Deese appointment. I mean, to be Biden's main economic advisor, someone who is essentially going to be in charge of greening the economy to get people back to work. That's one of the things that the Biden campaign was saying. You know, like, this is how we're going to build back better, y'all. And the problem is, John Deese, although he is an Obama alum and things like that, the man's been at BlackRock for the past couple years. And if you don't know what BlackRock is, they are the world's largest asset manager. They control
not the Black Keys in Mos Def. It is not the Black Keys.
No, absolutely not. It's not that wonderful collab. This is just a straight up. They control like $8 trillion worth of assets nearly. And they, you know.
That might be the Black Keys.
And, you know, having someone coming from the world's largest asset manager, I think most of the time when Trump was making appointees, the media was very quick to point out, who are these people? Look at these swamp creatures. Well, John Deese, I would say, coming from BlackRock, that's a hell of a fucking swamp to emerge from. And I don't want to say that every person who goes into the private sector and comes back the revolving door or whatever is a bad, you know, appointee. But I haven't seen appointments made from like nonprofits or other groups where people are doing like this real hard thinking about how to solve these problems. And just looking at BlackRock's like past, you know, MO on the environment just shows you how, you know, quote unquote, serious they are about the issue of like tackling climate change or the Green New Deal. They said before the last World Economic Forum in Davos, BlackRock, quote, pledged that their actively managed funds wouldn't invest in companies that do more than 25% of their business in coal. And you're like, oh, shit. OK, that sounds good. Like 25% of their business. But here's the deal. Coal is fucking dying. No person who has any kind of mind for investment is going to put their money in a dying industry. So like it's kind of sure, but like that's a nice policy to have. But it doesn't seem like that's a real thing that's going to affect your business in the like the name of doing what's right for the earth. And also like these passive funds that 90%
can't invest in Reebok. You can't.
Yeah, right. 90% of their business like comes in these forms of these passive funds, and those aren't even subjected to these like sustainability screens that they keep talking about. So it's a lot of fucking vaporware, which again you would expect because the Obama administration did a hell of a job too when they were like, "Hey man, all of the above when it comes to this climate change shit, fuel mix, all of the above." That is such horse shit. All of the above means, look, we're basically going to handhold some investors who were overleveraged in dying industries because we're not willing to actually take away these fucked up forms of energy that are polluting our earth. And this guy, John Deese, champion of the all of the above approach for fucking the earth. Like, this is, you know, our whole idea of trying to curb the climate change is getting rid of fossil fuels. And this guy comes from a company whose entire career, the ethos of companies like BlackRock and sending their, you know, underlings out to serve in government is to take away the restrictions to investment. You know what I mean? Right. That's like what these people do. They're not here to actually restrict things or prevent things from happening. They'd be like, no, we're basically capitalist grease to have the shit flying. Like anything that slows down is anathema to them.
But that is who we elected.
Yeah, no,
that's
absolutely.
The choice they gave us. I mean, Delaware has always been, it's just a little hideout is what that is.
Yeah, little baby Cayman Islands.
Yeah, and that's where our president-elect, That's where, that's who he's been representing in the Senate his mm-hmm. whole career. So, I mean, I think it was clear that's who Obama, that's why Obama chose him
yeah.
for vice president. And I think that's why big business was okay with him running yeah. for the Democratic thing. I think that's why, I mean, it's very clear. I think now yeah. we just assume anybody he puts in there is bullshit for the next 4 years, and we do what the Republicans did for 8 years, which is you just push to the left. And I'm yeah. not, I'm not a crazy leftist, but this is where our system's at. It's so far right, we have to push left for yeah. the next fucking 40 or 50 years.
Right. With regards to the environment, we're supposedly, and this is what Biden's like party line on it has been, is that we're in an existential crisis. And the answer that even that the Democrats have been in favor of is basically we grow the economy while fighting climate change. It's economic growth and battling climate change at the same time. And that has proven not to be enough. And no. like that's a broad question that like needs to be specifically.
Like, what if we just tax all these fucking trillionaires?
Right. And that's the thing.
And
that
then
they
create a new deal where it gives everybody jobs to make, to save
no.
our earth. We already did it. We already did it once. We already did it. I live in a community that's where I grew up that was created. It's called Homestead in Crossville, Tennessee, in Cumberland County. Roosevelt's wife came there and spoke because it was part of the New Deal. Two of my grandparents live in Homestead houses that were built by that. They're still fucking around. We already did it. Let's do it again.
Right.
I come from where it happened. Also, all that, this is also why I believe that 9/11 was an inside job, because people are like, oh, how do people do stuff because of it? Because I'm also grew up 20 miles from fucking Oak Ridge, Tennessee, that wasn't a town in 1940 and then was in 1941. And then yeah. I knew people that didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So, yeah, I believe that the government could do some fucked up shit too.
That was a town that they like basically built as a military like installation, right?
Yep. It's where
it's
they
like a secret.
Uranium and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing that, like, people being part of the Obama administration, I think there's probably, like, for, I can speak for myself, there's just a positive glow around Obama because he was contrasted with, like, somebody who was literally just trying to dismantle things openly for anybody who was not a rich business person. So we have this positive glow for Obama, but, like, the fact that this dude is an Obama administration alum, Rahm Emanuel is somebody who's being like kicked around as like a member.
All.
Yeah. Like that's really not a good thing. Like we need to be moving far left from where the Obama administration was on climate, on social justice, on, you know, like the
inequality.
We've got to
put limits on the power ghouls. You can't just yeah. be power ghouling around all the time, like just yeah. in and out of the halls of power. Like it's just historically, we've got to get rid of those type players.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah, these are all indications that we're not headed for what people were hoping Biden would be, which is like the new FDR. As
well,
you
know, if you watch MSNBC, they're going to be like, well, look at some of the other people. He's like pointing to some of these economic positions, like the Janet Yellens and other people. It's like, no, they're there for like more like equity and like working people and things like that. I'm like, well, I'll believe that shit when I see it, because based on the momentum or the concentration of favorable results that have occurred on the Democratic side, they don't give a fuck about this stuff. And that's why we were holding our noses being like, well, fuck, we just need to unburden ourselves of the distraction of having Trump and trying to figure out what the fuck to do with this person now. And yeah, to your point, like the Obama administration was all about having as smooth a partnership between the private sector and the public sector as possible. Like that right. was really like, and even to Billy's point, yes, having Joe Biden there is clearly an olive branch to the private sector being like, yeah, you remember him, the dude who's fucking caping for you all these years. That's my number two. So go through him and we'll figure something out. And I will still say all of the above while continuing to completely destroy the environment because you're sort of beholden to these fossil fuel industries.
And
so,
now we have President Amtrak Girly Sniffer.
Right. president Amtrak. But no.
I mean, I'm at a point where when the stock market reacts really positively to something, I think it's probably not good for the long term health of the country. And the fact that clarifying that Biden will be the president has caused the stock market value to go higher than it's ever gone before suggests to me that there is an expectation that all of the corporations who are insulated from day-to-day American economic conditions feel good and feel like they're going to be able to uphold the status quo. And that's a really bad sign.
Yeah. Well, I think we have to realize, too, is we have to, I mean, as fucked up as it is, this year has helped a lot of people be more engaged and more connected to what the stakes are in terms of how leadership functions in this country. And status quo is fucking death. Status yes. quo is fucking barbaric. It's fucking violent. It's chaos. And it has no fucking place in a world that I think most of us are trying to envision, which is something that feels somewhat more equitable and safer for all, like every single living person, that they yeah. have basic rights. And I think, you know, part of this Obama, be like, oh man, the Obama thing is essentially, I can go back to the level of engagement I had in politics when Obama was president yeah. because I probably have a salary job and that's fine. And I live in an area where most people also have the same living conditions and we don't talk much about the strife that's out there, but it's there. And for all the talk of like how great the economy is doing, like look at the footage of all the people lining up for food on Thanksgiving. You know, right. and we want to still do this rah-rah America's number one shit. We're leaving our fucking people behind. And to start hitting the brakes on the kinds of progress and the ideals that we're going to be fighting for just because Joe Biden is fucking president is an absolute betrayal to the people who need protection and help from, you know, that for us to move in solidarity with each other. Yeah. So it's really just, you know, I really... I implore the listeners too, like the shit is not, we said this even on the election day, no matter who wins, the shit is not done. We're not done. We're not fucking done.
I think as a show, like personally, I feel more energized because what we're saying, like before a lot of our criticisms of the administration and what was happening in politics were at least like partially being echoed by what was happening in the mainstream media. There's now going to be kind of a complete disconnect between, you know, the perspective of our show and what we think is actually good for people and the mainstream media, like there would have been during the Obama administration. Like there is actively an effort by the mainstream media to keep the status quo, unless they somehow change, unless they react to this waking up of the populace during the Trump administration and start moving their politics towards the left and, you know, accepting that there's growth. But
it's not going to happen because
yeah, well, it'll happen. Same. It'll happen if enough people change their buying habits and right.
aggressively.
That's yeah. what I mean. But if they change their buying habits and their activity in such a drastic, sharp way, because that's who, it's the same people that own everything, own the food and all the bullshit, own the fucking media companies now, and they're all unregulated. And right. if you don't, it's just that's why they poke and give us just enough information. Like this is why these shows are important.
That's right.
It was also made me laugh when you guys got your first Coke ad when you went to iHeart. It was like right. I was so curious when that would, and you guys, some of y'all were like, I can't believe that happened. I'm like, that was very clear. Those Coke motherfuckers knew exactly yeah. when y'all dropped, they were like, put an ad right there. Here's an extra $5,000. Put an ad right there.
Oh, you flatter us that we're on their radar.
If you don't think you guys are on their radar, you're silly. That there's, I you think don't they rule the world without having a good ass radar.
Right.
That's well. Have you seen? I've been to their. I think my thing with Coke is like they used to. They've embraced the villain, because I go to Wichita every couple of years, and their headquarters now looks like something out of a comic book.
Really? Like it's like the fucking Death Star. Or some shit.
Can't get near it. It's a black mirrored building. It's
hilarious. And I know people from there, and they're like, it used to be just this mom and pop up. I mean, they had a bazillion dollars, but it was just right. like, you know. And now they're like, they've since done this. And I was like, they've embraced it.
It's like yeah. the Borg cube or whatever that ship was in Star Trek that the yes. Borgs were fucking flying around. What the fuck
I
is
couldn't
this
stop
thing?
Laughing Pestilence when I was universe. Driving around it because I was like, this is, I got to just tip my hat. I ain't mad at them. This is hilarious because they're just you like, really yeah, we're bad guys. Shit. What are y'all going to do? And you're like, I don't think we can do anything.
That's the origin of us saying fuck the Koch brothers and Koch Industries at the top of the show was that for people who haven't been listening that long, a Koch Industries ad appeared on not like read by Miles and I, but just like a network wide Koch brothers, Koch Industries ad appeared on our podcast. And so for a year straight, we started the show off saying fuck Koch Industries and fuck the Koch brothers. Just, you know, so
and then one of them died and then
stood.
Out of respect, we were like, you know what, dude? You know,
yeah, I just, it's just a lot of people were also like Koch Industries, right? Like Coca-Cola. Yeah, fuck them.
I'm like, nah, whatever.
Kind of, but no.
Yeah, sure. Not, I mean, they're know, also yeah. siphoning all the water out of the earth. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The union.
And the corn.
Yeah.
They're union busters with some blood on their hands in Latin America too. Coke bottling plants.
I mean, no I think that's the thing. A lot of when you look at the trade advisors that Biden has, they all do have blood on their hands from literal union busting. So yeah, that right. might be interesting.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and catch up with where we are on the dying days of the Trump administration and the early days of the Jake Paul administration.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. There's just all sorts of chatter around Trump pardoning himself, his family, Sean Hannity on his podcast or his radio show talked about how had on Sidney Powell, first of all. So I, you know, thought when the Trump administration threw her under the bus that her days as a media sort of expert for Fox News were over, but no, she back. And
you can't flush one down the toilet. You have to smash it and then flush
it. Yeah, you got to break it up with chopsticks.
Oh God.
Yeah, and then flush
it. You gotta fuck those things. You gotta really kill them.
I feel like we're having some really specific conversations about
talk about somebody
practices.
Who grew up in a Japanese house and took shits that were too big for my little toilet.
Anyway, Hannity wants Trump to pardon
about cockroaches,
himself.
But he's got a whole different thing.
Yeah. And did we ever figure out where, like, there's no constitutional precedent for somebody just saying, like, I'm pardoned, I'm on base, you can't tag me, no takebacks. Like, that's not how presidential pardons work, right?
He can't pardon himself. I've been in this position to put such a motherfucker in charge there that he could have to. It's one of those where I think everyone came to the monk on the thing, and the monk goes, he just lights a cigarette. You didn't even know he smoked.
He just
goes,
right.
Huh.
Shit.
Okay. Maybe we just go get him now? I don't know.
Because I mean, wouldn't he have to pardon himself for something? Or can you just preemptively be like, Ali Ali Oxen Free, I didn't do anything that you're going to say I did?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they'll try it because based on the lawsuits, these motherfuckers will do anything.
It would be amazing though if he was like, okay, so here are the 10 things I did and this is what I'm pardoning myself for.
He goes to a police station to turn himself in. I would like to confess to some crimes because I need to get charged while he's in office. That's kind of the deal here. The clock is rapidly ticking for somebody who is an actual enemy of whatever this system of governance is, as fucked up as it is. It's just like, sure.
But that's just federal. Like, he can't pardon himself from all the state shit he's done.
Right.
That's why it's like, you can go ahead. Like, you know, everybody's been sharpening their knives since the day. I mean, I think all of the prosecutors know how the presidential pardons work, but it was very clear once they saw the obstruction happening at DOJ that those U.S. attorneys were like going to the people at the state level and being like, y'all, it ain't going to happen over here. So we can, you know, you might need to also get your car warmed up because it's something might have to happen on that side.
And if you need help, we know some people that kind of call or just like, hey, we can't do it, but you can. And
according to sources,
and then
Rudy Giuliani,
files show up to that person's door.
Right.
Or you're like, hey, how did you? That's from us.
Another thing I need to get out of the habit of personally is like thinking of the FBI as good guys because they were in this specific instance. Like,
man, we were rooting for the fucking NSA and CIA.
Yeah, NSA, CIA, FBI. And
you're like, nah, fuck that.
To get out of that, I am reading Family Secrets and The Jakarta Method. I highly recommend both about the history of CIA fuckery. And by fuckery, I mean like straight up just murdering of innocent people.
Oh, yeah. And like fucking just blowing up planes and shit. They're like, no, that politician was getting a little too popular in that country where we have investment interests.
Or is it?
That's how they get you. Mm-hmm. But Rudy Giuliani has also been discussing the idea of a preemptive pardon. But like, again, they're not saying what it would be for. So he's just going to pardon him for the thing that he did. And that's how we're going to find out. what it's they actually did?
Well, it's probably like his Ukraine shit, lobbying on behalf of another country, all kinds of, you name it.
I think Giuliani at this point is just like a bad publicist more than a lawyer, because he just says,
oh, for sure,
just like things where it's like a publicist would, like, hey, he's also an actor, he does acting. You're right. Like, it's just like, oh, he could blah blah blah, and you're like, this is, you're just saying stuff that you, and then he repeats it like a drunk, where it's just like all night. We're just like,
you're not
just
like a drunk over, because he's drunk.
No, yeah. I was just I was giving him an allegedly.
Got it. The one interesting thing is that like Rudy and Trump have found their perfect like equals. Like they're both as have the same tether to reality as the other one. So they just feed off of each other in like the worst collaboration you've fucking ever seen in your life that gets nothing done, because all of their shit is just like, man, like, can you imagine? Like, what if we got Joe Biden out and like, yeah, man, why don't you go and fucking do some fucking Ukrainian muckraking or some shit? It's like, and nothing ends up actually substantive, because they're just so governed by what the optics are of what they do and not what the actual substance is or how they could even execute a plan that they would conceive.
I think you're exactly, it feels like high school kids. The hierarchy of high school, where it's like they've went through every other clique and been kicked out of every other clique, and everybody's just like, I just can't put up with that guy. And then the other people are like, I can't put up with this. And then they end up,
can't anymore, man.
And you're like, of course.
And then you're driving through town and you see those two hanging together, and everybody's like, of course they're friends. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. They're jousting on dirt bikes and with pitchforks. I don't know how this ends well, but that's them. You know, that's their thing.
Even without the, you know, even the conservative side of the mainstream media buying literally anything they're talking about, Sidney Powell is still like, well, none of this is going to be necessary for him to pardon himself, because we're going to win.
We have released the Kraken.
And then the Kraken stuff is really spinning out of control. With there was allegedly a CIA shootout in Germany to retrieve servers that prove that there was cheating in the election, and they will be released imminently. It's just really like a lot of constant cult leader who predicts that the end of the world is tomorrow, like stuff going on where it doesn't end, and they just manage to keep the ball spinning.
Kicking the can.
I just want to see, after he says some stuff like that, a jump clip to actual Tom Clancy just looking at the camera, just shaking his head like, no.
Yeah.
This is not how this works. I would write this. Yeah.
This is not how this works, you guys.
Well, speaking of things just spinning out of control, the guy went on 60 Minutes over the weekend, Chris Krebs, a former head of cybersecurity and infrastructure agency, CISA, and a lifelong Republican, you know, went on and was just like, said what we all know to be true.
Right.
That like there wasn't, that this was a pretty above the board election, and everything Trump is saying is made up and just based on his ego and his inability to accept his loss.
Take the L.
So to speak.
And it had the tone of somebody being like, listen, I wish there was some shit going on, because my job would have been more fun. I wish I would just, that's what I'm trained to do. You know, I don't want to say I want to get in a fight, but I've been trained to fight and I like to fight.
Yeah.
This shit is pretty boring. So,
yeah.
But, anyways. Joe DiGenova, who is that, Miles?
He's one of the spearheads, man, of Trump's scam legal team. Like, you know, he was there for, been there for everything. He's like one of the people who followed the same mold of, I'll scream just nonsense on Fox, voice, and then I'll eventually be working with the president. It's like easier than like going from Upright Citizens Brigade to like a like fucking, you know, workplace mockumentary show. Like the way there, you're like, oh, right, you do that for a little bit, and then next thing you know, you're there. But yeah, he was on Newsmax talking about Chris Krebs and said, quote, anybody who thinks that this election went well, like that idiot Krebs who used to be the head of cybersecurity, that guy is a class A moron. He should be drawn and quartered, taken out at dawn, and shot. So the host of the show was like, oh, come on, Joe. And then just kind of pivoted to something else.
Newsmax was like, that's a little much. Okay. We like to take the news to the max, but you have stepped beyond it.
Yeah, in a satirical way, but I guess our viewers don't realize this is satire yet. But the whole thing was, okay.
Yeah, there's one producer at Newsmax. I'm like, oh, shit, I guess there is a line. I guess there is.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that got crossed. I guess we got one.
Damn.
Okay.
All right. Well, because, we on all of our FCC filing, we're telling people this isn't a news channel, but whatever. the whole thing with this group, though, is like, once this clip came out, I was like, oh, my God, this dude is calling for an execution of someone from the president's fucking legal team. And when people asked Krebs for comment, he clapped back, sort of legally speaking. He said, quote, the way I look at it is we are a nation of laws, and I plan to take advantage of those laws. I've got an exceptional team of lawyers that win in court, and I think they're probably going to be busy. Yeah. And just was like, just as smooth, cool as you like, said it like that. And then Savannah Guthrie, he was on, like, and what is that, the Today Show. She followed up and she's like, are you concerned for your safety at all? Because, you know, this is following a pattern of people who have been protecting our elections, getting death threats and shit like that. He responded, quote, I'm not going to give them the benefit of knowing how I'm reacting to this. They can know that there are things coming, though.
Mm.
So I don't know. Like, that's just some weird, like, lawyer threat shit.
Yeah,
but it's
lawyered up shit.
It's freaky. Yeah. But yeah, he's basically saying, like, I'm lawyered the fuck up, Joe DiGenova, and I'm not going to take your TV threats lightly. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe Joe DiGenova will get a pardon. Who knows? Mm.
Well, other people who are probably quaking in their boots right now, Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Because...
famed loser.
In other important news, Jake Paul is feeling himself after knocking Nate Robinson out.
Yeah.
And is apparently in talks to, quote, fuck Conor McGregor up.
Nope. I honestly...
Nope. Nope.
Let me just, I'm just going to play a clip. He gave an interview to TMZ Sports where he's like, yeah, you know, he was very, actually very respectful of Nate Robinson. He's like, yeah, you know, we were fighting. He got knocked out. I don't think that's any reason for people to make fun of him or whatever. Like, I respect him as a competitor, like, and I'm grateful for the fight, blah, blah, blah. He didn't, like, you know, dunk on him or anything like that. And then they pivoted to this idea of the Conor McGregor fight, and he was very, like, coy. He's like, yeah, you know, we're talking. My manager's talking to his manager right now, and we're seeing what's happening. But then he starts, like, he gets a little momentum, as it were, on the feeling myself express. And he's just kind of like, but yeah, like, I'm for real, though. I'm the real deal, though. Like, don't think this is some publicity shit.
So the Jake Paul versus Conor McGregor fight is going to happen. And just a matter of when. And it's going to be legendary. And I'm going to win, too. Like, that's what I really want people to understand. And I told my friends this. I was like, guys, this is going to happen. But not only that, like, I'm going to dedicate my life to winning that fight. Because I'm not just going in there just to fucking say I did it. I'm going in there to fucking fuck Conor McGregor up.
I mean, here's the thing.
I love it.
Not to defend.
I love the confidence.
Not to defend. Yeah. Well,
you gotta have that confidence.
You, without a doubt, if you were
even
considering stepping in the ring with that dude, you have to believe.
You can fold his ass up like a church folding table.
You just have to be like, and you're goddamn right, you better dedicate your life to fighting him.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's already done with his life. He wasn't YouTubing it. He wasn't.
No.
He wasn't. No, that motherfucker is Irish, and he was fighting before it was profitable for him just because that's what they do.
Right. What do you think on YouTube? Does YouTube vlogger, does that parallel skills with fighting Conor McGregor? I mean, obviously,
he seems to think it does.
He's a wrestler, but I mean, I that's what I said. I love the confidence because on its face, to hear Jake Paul being like, yo, I'm going in there to fuck Conor McGregor up is hilarious to me. But yes, there's no way you can have any, just as a competitor, there's no way you could go into any competition and be like, I don't know how I'm going to do. If you don't back yourself 100%, you're not going to do well. But all that to say is I love hearing someone like Jake Paul saying this shit because I don't I can't imagine how this will end up. And I'm not ready for my 2020 bingo card to have a new square that says Jake Paul is the new Jake LaMotta, or like the fucking pugilism goat of all time suddenly. So I don't know. I don't know.
I would pay money to watch that fight, just to watch this dude get folded up. One thing he said in that interview, he said, no other fighter with this big of a platform is calling out McGregor. My dogs have more followers than the guy he's fighting in January. So he believes that his followers dogs, translate.
Lil Moo and Thor.
Right.
Well, I think but what he
believes
understood.
That followers somehow and social media clout translate to him being a better fighter.
He's still thinking like a YouTuber.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? Let's no, trade our he's audience.
No. He is thinking like Don King.
Right.
So he's not wrong.
Right.
It's
just course,
weird
but
that
I'm just
the
saying
fighters
that's the same habit. Yeah.
It's weird that the fighter is the one running is also running the promotion. That's well, what he's... we're that's what's throwing all of us off on this one. And also he's in it for the money. McGregor'll fight somebody whoever he's supposed to fight, and then McGregor'll quit for a while and Jake Paul will run his fucking mouth for a couple of years and getting my ass whooped and be in okay shape, because that's what he's going to have to get in. Like, right. If they fought tomorrow, he would kill him.
Yeah.
Because did you hear Tyson, did you hear them talk about Roy Jones Jr., who was like Tyson was fucking with him.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I didn't see the fight, but I heard about that, yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, Tyson still, at whatever years old, is a murderer killing machine.
Yeah. Quite literally, probably.
Like, Jones Jr. popped him in the forehead good, and instead of going back, Tyson took a step forward.
Yeah.
And you can see it in Roy, and like, Jones Jr.'s like still breathing hard after the fight because he's taking body shots. And he said, he's like, I thought I was strong enough to take, he's like, but this is,
fuck
that
no.
Dude's a fucking animal. And that's
and he smoked
Jones
weed before the fight.
Yes.
Mike and, Tyson was like, I don't know.
And Mike Tyson's just standing there. And,
yeah.
And Roy Jones Jr.'s like, and Tyson's like, yo, I mean, what do we do? I mean, do
you I can hit
steak?
You. You want me to? Yeah.
We've spent a lot of time on this show talking about like Jordan, peak Jordan, what a great athlete Jordan was, like how next level. The most exciting athlete I've ever watched in my life was peak Mike Tyson. When I was like 7, 8 years old, we would like
Grim
go
Reaper
to
status.
My dad's friend's house and like get the fight. And when that motherfucker was walking into the ring against like Spinks, like that
Leon
shit
Spinks,
was
yeah,
so exciting, man. And just yeah. like unbelievably skilled, next level. Just watching him box in slow motion is incredible.
Maybe Jake Paul should fight Mike Tyson if he's
no,
really
he
feeling
should
himself.
Not. He would die. It's right. Like when Butterbean punched Johnny Knoxville.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying about Jake Paul fighting Conor McGregor. It's like he would have to get in, take a punch,
yeah,
and
your
kick shape. Just take
he's,
it.
Yeah. He's yeah. been fighting amateurs. Well, it would be boxing because, like, there's no, I mean, I don't know what that would look like if it was a full on octagon fight, but.
I would like to watch that.
I would love to watch that. I always love to see assholes who I don't like actually get served a full-on ass whooping. 100% my favorite genre of entertainment. But with this, it's like, yeah, you also take your feelings of momentum with about a whole thing of Morton Salt. Because, again, sir, you fought KSI, who's another YouTuber, and you won. You fought fucking Nate Robinson with the height difference is just stupid. Who's not a professional fighter, and don't think that that's going to translate suddenly to a fighting a professional fighter. But again, I love the confidence. And please, you know, the karma gods, do what you got to do.
Keep it coming. Please keep it coming. all right. Billy Wayne, it's been a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
Just Google Billy Wayne Davis, and I'm at whatever social thing you want to follow me at. And also, I have a very, very wonderful cannabis podcast that I'm proud of called Grown Local.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on all the things. What we do is we go around interviewing the growers. So we're trying to get rid of the stigma of cannabis by showing you the people that bring it to you.
and mm-hmm. that they're just farmers and normal people who've been fighting a really cool fight for a long time. So
yeah, yeah. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh man, I got a couple of tweets here. Dan Wicks, who I don't really know who that is, but I saw it retweeted. It said, Malcolm Gladwell was on the Epstein flight log. He believes women hit their peak at 10,000 hours.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
And then the other one I liked was Blair Saatchi, a Zeitgeist favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Love to start my day with a plant-based smoothie and follow it up with a quick package of salami. And as a former athlete, I very much relate to that. I believe she does that.
She was like a D1 college volleyball player.
Yeah, she plays it down, but she played at UCLA, which is like one of the best programs in the country too.
She basically played football for Alabama. She did.
She's just like
a great athlete.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, 420 Day Fiance. If you want to hear, you know, that reality shit talking. Tweet I like comes from Jabari Ollie Davis at Jabari Davis NBA. For the Dexter fans out there, this one really resonated with me. Dexter ended after season 4 with Rita in the tub. The rest was just a fever dream we all experienced. Never happened. And I've never felt this more, because it really, after that season, you're like, how could it go higher? And it didn't. It didn't.
It didn't.
It went straight down the fucking drain. It was like awful. I mean, my uncle worked on that show, and I was even like, yeah, what the fuck was that, bro? Like the series finale. I mean, look, he's not, you know, he wasn't the fucking writer or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah. He was doing his job.
I know you guys are probably like fucking mad at this, right? Because that John Lithgow season was fucking amazing. Anyway, so
yes,
all that to say, Dexter, I believe, is coming back, and I don't know how I'm feeling about it. But
no,
it is?
You're right. That tweet is so right. I didn't know I felt this strongly about it, but I love that show. And
after season 4, you're like, what? Especially the one with Edward James Olmos. I'm like, this dude was a fucking ghost the whole. Oh my god, you just wasted the whole season on a whole. Anyway, so and I don't give a fuck. Spoilers for Dexter after the warning.
Think that was one of the first shows that we started realizing that people could be like, I think you just do 3 seasons. That's the story can't go any further.
Right.
Right.
Thank no God. Because it used to be like, we're going to keep this going until the dump truck full of money leaves.
Right. And then fuck it. Like, if we've completely vaporized upon reentry because the work is so bad, fuck it. We got a truck full of money.
I got that money truck. So I'm going to go. I don't have to do stuff anymore.
That's such a weird show for them to be bringing back as like a show that is famous for having like the worst ending of all time, like,
right,
for a good show. They're like, you know what, more
whatever, yeah,
more of this.
Well, that's the American way right there. You know, it'd be exactly. better more
of the bad thing. Yeah
I just
will it make more. Us money marginally. That's all I needed to hear.
Have we done more yet?
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Morgan Parker tweeted, it's going to be so embarrassing when I still want to cancel plans and stay home, and I feel that. Jess Dweck tweeted that picture of Stephen Miller and his new baby, holding his new baby, and said, weird that Stephen Miller waited until today to post a photo of his Thanksgiving meal. And then Meredith at Deets Meredith tweeted, no, they're not symptoms of depression, they're blues clues.
I like that.
Yeah, it's just a cute way to think about
man.
Our symptoms of depression.
Bluey.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this fine afternoon upon?
So this is just a nice vibey track for Hump Day called Patiently by Splash Brothers, Topaz Jones, Highly Supreme. It's got just a ton of different MCs on here. The production's really great, and it's got just laid back vibes. You know, I'm not just after talking about that intense reality show, sometimes you just kind of want a little bit of, you know, some headphone head nod beats. So this is that for y'all.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. We don't get to talk. And you don't wait and see. We both had enough. We both had enough. But you gon' wait for me. You gon' wait for me. 'Cause I've been waiting patient. You've been waiting patient. Been waiting patiently. Waiting patiently. I've been waiting patient. I've been waiting patient. Waiting patiently. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.